Evening, everybody. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. We'll begin reading from verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain privately. And the Lord was transfigured before them, and his face did shine like the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 booths, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. The first verse, it tells us, after 6 days. And really, that's what we all need to do. We need to get to the end of ourselves. Because 6 is a number of man, isn't it? And we get to the end of man, then we can begin to see the Lord and His glory. It's interesting, at the end, it says they saw no man save Jesus only. But I'd like to speak on one word tonight, and that is fear. All of us are afraid from time to time, and I think all of us have different fears. Some are afraid of heights. I am. Some are afraid of doctors. I am. Some are afraid of dentists. I'm not as afraid of the dentist as I am of doctors. I remember Mom, and she won't admit this, but this is the truth. When I was a young rascal, she'd tell us about a week before we were going for our shots, Brenton. And I, well, you're going next week for your shots. And every night I'd have nightmares thinking about going for my shots. And I think that's why I'm still afraid of them today. Fears. All of us have fears. Some of us are afraid we get in the car and have our wives drive for us. You know, it helps our prayer life. Afraid. But I would suppose if I had to ask everyone here tonight, what is your greatest fear? What would you say it is? I know what I would say. To die. I really believe that's man's ultimate fear, is to die. None of us like to think about it because we don't know really. We don't have a grasp totally on what's going to be after death. All we can go by is what the Word of God tells us. What causes fear? Well, really, we read about fear right back in the beginning of the Bible. For Adam, it tells us, was afraid. I heard thy voice in the garden, he tells the Lord, and I was afraid because I was naked. Now, that wasn't always true, was it? Adam wasn't always afraid. He was afraid because of sin. Sin came in, and that's really why we're all afraid, too. We're afraid of some man's going to come and stick a gun in our... Well, why does he do that? It's sin. That's the reason he does that. We're afraid of those things around us. He feared because he was a sinner. And as we stand in God's presence as sinners, we should all be afraid. Every one of us should be afraid because of our sin. James tells us that every sin begins with a thought. Lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And the Lord brought that message even closer to home when he enlightened the law somewhat, and he said, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already committed the sin of adultery in his heart. So it all begins with our thoughts, but we know also it's because of our sin. Jacob was afraid when he had that dream. He saw the angels ascending and descending upon this ladder, and it tells us, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. He was very much afraid of where he was. Today we have a lot to be afraid of in the world. Some of us are afraid of getting robbed, our houses broken into, security. We're concerned about security. Some are concerned about just when they go out to the mall. Security. And all of it's a result of sin. Every bit of it. We're all afraid because of our sin. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, it tells us that men's hearts, the Lord Jesus said, are failing them for fear. I'm just afraid. You know, and as we look in our own lives, we can see time when we're just afraid. We think about all the burdens we've heard about in the last 5 years, all the troubles that people have gone through, and it makes you afraid. It scares you somewhat to see what people are going through. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. I'm just afraid. Some are single here tonight, and it's not hard, it's not easy living by yourself. Sometimes you're afraid when you live by yourself, and our hearts can fail us because of our fears. But what are we afraid of, or who should we be afraid of? I really believe that most of us in life are afraid of the things we don't need to be afraid of, and we're not afraid of the things we do need to be afraid of. Do we have a respectful fear of God, of who He is, of what it means to come into His presence, that He's holy, holy, holy? Do we really understand what that means, to come into His presence? The Bible tells us we should fear God rather than men. And there's several examples of this in the Scripture. It's interesting when you study it. Remember back in Exodus, Pharaoh ordered all the boys to be killed. And this is what we read. The midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. Talk about fear. Here's the king of Egypt laying down the law. He wants all the boys to be killed, and these midwives saved them alive because they feared God. That's who we need to fear. And it's a tremendous example to us. Numbers 14. I read through the Bible when I was over in the Bahamas, and I love Numbers because I'd never seen Numbers for what it really was until I read right through it. It's a wonderful book. In the beginning, the Lord tells Moses, I want you to count the people. Number them. And then He tells the people, I want you to go in and spy out the land. Remember Joshua and Caleb and several others went in the land. And they came back and they said, there's giants in that land and we're not going back in there. And only two men, Joshua and Caleb, stood up against 600,000 Jews. And they said, the Lord said for us to go in there. Let's go in. And the Bible tells us that they were going to kill Joshua and Caleb. And the only reason they didn't is because Moses intervened on their behalf. And so we know the Lord let the children of Israel wander because they didn't obey Him. But Moses pleaded with the people in Numbers 14, verse 9. He says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. Sometimes we're afraid when we look around, aren't we? We're afraid of people. Those of us who are believers and we go to witness, we're just afraid. There's giants in the land. But we need to fear the Lord. The reason we don't fear the Lord is because we don't hold Him in a higher position. Really, we don't understand who God is compared to men. What is man compared to God? He's nothing. And we need to fear the Lord. David and Joshua and Caleb all were examples of just a few standing up fearing God. God said, I believe it. That's all. We're doing it. No matter what obstacles there are, we're going to obey what God says. Are we willing to do that? I question my own heart. Are we willing to stand on what the Word of God says? No matter what anybody else says. Sometimes it can be believers. Remember what the Lord said? Whoso is not willing to leave father, mother, sister, brother, because they love me, it's not worthy. I mean, sometimes that's what it costs to obey the Lord. We need to fear Him. Sometimes it's just pleasing the people is the reason we disobey the Lord. Saul, remember the Lord told him, I want you to go in and destroy everything. And he kept all the animals, a lot of the animals alive. Samuel, he goes to Samuel after Samuel confronted him with his sin. And he said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord because I feared the people. Sometimes it's hard to come up here and say things that you know the Word of God says because you're afraid of what people might think or say. But we need to fear Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 tells us a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And there it's talking about the Lord makes His grace known to man, and man rejects it. You know, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy, having two or three witnesses. And then how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy of trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant and counted an unholy thing? And that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I would venture to say that most of us who are Christians here tonight were saved not so much because of the love of the Lord, even though that's true, but we were saved out of fear. A lot of us were saved when we were young, and we were just afraid. We were afraid of what our sins would cost, of going to hell, being separated from our loved one and from God. We were afraid. So fear is a good thing sometimes. In Psalm chapter 76, verse 7, David says, "The Lord," he said, "thou, even thou, art to be feared." God is to be feared by us. "And who may stand in his sight when once thou art angry?" What the Bible says? God's angry with the wicked every day. Well, who are the wicked? The Lord gives us some pictures of who the wicked are in the New Testament. He says, "Do you forgive your brother? Do you forgive your sister?" He said, "If you don't, that's a wicked thing." Remember that man that owed the Lord all that money, and he went out and grabbed the other man? After the Lord forgave, he went and grabbed that other man that owed him like 100 pence, a third of a year's salary. He grabbed him, and when the Lord found out about that, he said he was angry. He says this, "Oh, thou wicked servant." Do we forgive one another? If we don't, that's a wickedness before God. Who can stand in his sight when he is angry? Over and over in the New Testament we read, "God spared not, God spared not, God spared not." God does not mess around with sin, and we shouldn't think in our own lives that God will put up with it. He won't. "Don't be deceived," the apostle said, "for whatever we sow, we're going to reap." It's interesting that the Bible brings the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Isn't that interesting? If we're ever going to know God, we must fear him. And I can remember back when I got saved, I was afraid of who God was and who he is. And when I was afraid of him and when he spoke, then I listened. He told me I was a sinner and I needed a savior. And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal savior. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why do we fear the one that we don't need to fear, really? It's a wonderful thing that God tells us we should fear him. We also know that we don't have to fear him if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Over and over again, in the New Testament especially, let me just comment on a few times. Not only is it true in the presence of the Lord, but even in the presence of angels that came to earth, men feared because of who they were, how they appeared. Remember, the angels, as they announce the Lord's birth to the shepherds, here they're tending the sheep out in the hills at night, and one angel appears. It said they did exceedingly quake. That's what it says about the shepherds. They were afraid. And what was the word from the angel? "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They knew who they were, angels, and if the shepherds were any kind of Jews at all, they had heard about what angels had done in the Old Testament. We read of one angel in David's life that slew 70,000 Israelites in 3 days. One angel. And the Lord said, "I could pray now, and the Father would send me more than 12 legions of angels." He didn't need Peter defending him. The angels were very capable of doing that. But the angels, did they say, "Be afraid"? Don't be afraid. Fear not. I would imagine if an angel appeared here right now, I'd be shaking in my boots too. We would be afraid, naturally speaking. But they say, "Fear not." You're out in your boat fishing out in Biscayne Bay at night. All of a sudden you see somebody coming to you walking on the water. Would you be afraid? I'd be afraid. Never seen anything like that before. But what did the Lord Jesus tell his disciples? "Don't be afraid, it is I." What a wonderful gift that is from the Lord. And here we've read when they heard the voice of God, when they saw the Lord Jesus, they heard it, they fell on their face and were very much afraid. But notice what the Lord does. He touches them and he says, don't be afraid. I don't know how that strikes you, but that just is a tremendous blessing to me. That the God of the universe, the one who we've sinned against, would ever come and touch us and tell us not to be afraid. And it cost the Lord Jesus a great deal to be able to say that to the disciples. Isaiah, he saw the Lord's glory, holy, holy, holy. And what does it say? He said, I am a man. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And we know the angel came and took a coal and put it on his lips. He said, thy sins are going to be dealt with. There's a standing before God because sin was going to be dealt with by the Lord. Then we know Revelation chapter 1, John sees the Lord in his glory. And what did it tell us happened? When he saw the Lord, he fell at his feet as dead. And the Lord reached out his right hand, tells hand of power, laid it on John. Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and of death. What a wonder that is, that the one that we should fear is also our friend and Savior. The thing that I marvel about in studying this was we all have these fears, and we fear death most of all. And the Lord Jesus came to remove that fear for us. For those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus, he came to remove the fear of death. But what a price he had to pay. In Hebrews chapter 5, it tells us, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to deliver him from death, and he was heard, and that he feared. The Lord Jesus himself was afraid, and he bore all my fears, my greatest fear, he bore it on the cross. We think about that. It tells us about Peter and John as he was warming himself that night by the fire because it was a cold night. If it was a cold night, why do we read of the Lord sweating in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was afraid of death. Not so much the physical death. That's what we tend to think about a lot, the pain, the suffering that man put the Lord through. But the Holy One to be made sin for us. None of us will ever be able to comprehend what that meant to the Lord Jesus as he faced that, as he knew what men were going to do, as he knew that he would be alone. That's a fear too. He knew he would be alone, separated from man, separated from God. All because of our sin. In John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord gives a message to the disciples. The first verse opens up, don't let your heart be troubled. When it comes down to our standing before God, we should be troubled at heart. None of us are what we should be, even those of us who are believers. We need to fear the Lord. But he says, peace I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of your problems, of your fears. Paul tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God's for us? The people in the world, unbelievers, believe that God's against them. How can a God of love do this and that? God's not against us. He's been for us all along, way back from the Garden of Eden. David says in Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Psalm 23, verse 4, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And that's what makes a difference if the Lord is with us. Remember David comes out, his dad sends him with some cheese to his brothers, comes out, and here's the whole army of Israel, and Saul, this huge, big man, the Bible says, and they're all sitting there on the side of the mountain shaking when Goliath came out. And his brothers tell him, you go home, David, you don't have any business being here. But wait a minute, who is this man to talk about our God that way? You notice what he says, the Lord is on my side, I'm not going to fear. And one man David by himself went out against Goliath with the Lord, and he defeated Goliath. And guess what happened to the rest of the people then? With the rest of the army? Let's go get him. Now that Goliath's out of the picture, we can go get him. And that's a wonderful example to us. If all of us by ourselves would not fear and just obey what the Lord says, perhaps all the other children would follow along with us. In Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, he tells us, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he tells us in the next verse, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If the Lord is with us, the Lord of heaven, the Creator is with us, what do we have to fear? You remember what he said to the disciples when he sent them out to preach the gospel? Matthew, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. In other words, the buck stops here. All authority is given unto me. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the earth. If we recognize the Lord's authority, no matter what kings are doing, what governments are doing, we recognize his authority, we will not fear what men will do unto us. There's some interesting things that the Bible tells us about fear. One is that anybody who's in a leadership role must lead in the fear of God. He must rule in the fear of God. Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, it tells us. Remember when Moses was choosing the judges in the first part of Exodus because he couldn't do the job? That was the requirement. They had to be able men, but also men that feared God, that their judgment was in the sight of God, what they were going to set down. And we need to fear God, too, if we're in leadership roles. Just little things like parents. Just being a parent. Do we look to the Lord? Do we rule our children in the fear of God? In the assembly, you know, at our work, if we're managers, do we rule in the fear of God? The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 10:27, prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Why is that? Why does the fear of the Lord prolong days? Because if we fear the Lord, we'll obey what he says and his word. And every law and commandment and exhortation in the scripture, man might mean things for evil, but God always means things for good. And we should really have the heart of Job when he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what the Lord does in my life, I'm going to thank him for whatever happens. And our lives can be prolonged if we obey the Lord. But if we sin, if we're wicked, there's going to be a price to be paid because of that. The Lord wants us to live a long life here on earth. But we can only do that if we obey his word. We think of the big problem of AIDS today. Well, where did AIDS come from? Disobedience to the word of God. If you want to prolong your days, you obey the Lord in your life. It's interesting in Proverbs 31, verse 30, it tells us that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Do we fear the Lord in our home life? But it's wonderful to know that we don't have to fear one that knows us by our name. Not our name like we have at work, Mr. Van Rooyen, but knows us by our first name. I know my sheep, and I call them by their names. He tells us, I have called thee, in Isaiah 43, verse 1, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We don't have to fear the one who knows us by our name. Remember what the Lord told his disciples? I don't call you servants anymore, but I call you by friend. You're my friends. And then he goes on to say, you're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. There should be still a reverential fear of the Lord as we live our lives. Sinners have a lot to be afraid of with God. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, whether you're young or old, you have something to be afraid of tonight. Not only to die the first time, but to die a second time. The Bible speaks about a second death, the lake of fire. And we need to fear the Lord and trust
the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Sinners fear, but saints don't have to anymore because the Lord has borne our fears. Remember Matthew 28? There were a couple keepers by the tomb of the Lord Jesus. And they were there, and when the angels came, as lightning, it said the keepers did quake, and they became as dead men. Bone dead. But there were some women there that were seeking the Lord Jesus. And he tells them, fear ye not, for ye seek Jesus. There's a difference, isn't there? Because there's a relationship there now. Remember what the Lord told Mary? You go tell my brethren that I ascend to my God and your God. Now that's fine, but he didn't stop there. To my Father and your Father. We have a relationship, Father to his children. And what a wonderful relationship that is, that we can rely that everything he does for us is for our own good. We can't always say that about our human fathers. Sometimes they deal with it just out of anger, you know, because we're at the end of their patience. I told you. But God's, our Father, is not like that. Everything he does is for our good. And we just need to trust him and fear him in those things. David tells Solomon, when Solomon's building the temple, we know in the end of 1 Chronicles, there's a lovely prayer there. If you've never read it in chapter 29, as David prays for his son. But he tells Solomon this. Think about these words. The Lord will not fail thee. How many people can you say that about in your life? Can you say your mom never failed you, your dad, your brothers, your sister, Christian brothers and sisters? Can you say they've never failed you? But he says about the Lord, he will never fail you. And most of us, I think, can honestly say that he has been the only one that has never failed us. He will not forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Realize that? We don't even have to fear death because the Lord's not going to take us home until our job is done here. And notice what he said, your service for the house of the Lord. And we know he was building a house, but so are we. Spiritually, we're here to build up one another. Not to cut one another down, but to build one another up in the Lord. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting as we look back and we think about ones we've known that the Lord has taken home. A lot of them we can say that their work was done. The Lord knew that their work was done and he took them home. We read in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord takes some people home because they sin. They were sinning about the Lord's table and eating. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. Sometimes the Lord takes us home because we're not doing the work he has called us to do. But we can trust him. Remember what Paul says? Sometimes, you know, we fear death. All of us fear death. But sometimes I wonder why. Those of us who are believers, why do we fear death so much? Because this life, how many here want to live another 100 years here? Not me. I really don't. There's something far better. And Paul talks about that. He says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. But to remain is more needful for you. All of us, it would be better if every Christian here tonight, if the Lord were gone home. It would be better for every one of us. And yet, he said to remain is more needful for you. I need you, brothers and sisters, and you need me. We need one another, and we need the work, the gifts that the Lord has given for one another. We don't have to fear anything until the Lord takes us home that will get the work done. He that hath begun a good work in you might complete it. The Lord has never not finished anything he's begun. And some of us love to buck him. I'm one of them. The Lord tells me, well, that's not the best way. And he gets his message across somewhere or another. Sometimes it's pretty hard to learn the lessons. But he will complete the work in the day of Jesus Christ. One day we're going to be like him. And we look forward to that. David tells us in Psalm 34, verse 4, if we seek the Lord, he will hear us, and he'll deliver us from some of our fears. That's what he says. He will deliver me from all my fears. Do we live like that? Do we seek the Lord when we're afraid? Naturally speaking, we're going into the doctor. We've got cancer. Do we seek the Lord first? Or do we just enjoy our fears? We can seek Him, and He'll hear us, and He'll deliver us from our fears. But we need to seek Him. It's interesting, if we really fear God, we're not going to sin. Because that's what it says about Job. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Not a man like him on the earth. Not one. He's perfect and upright. One that fears God and eschews evil. You see, you can't say on this side that you're fearing God and on this side you're enjoying sin. You can't do both. If I'm fearing God, honestly, that will keep me from sin. I'm afraid. Most of us are afraid not that we're sinning before God. We're afraid we're going to get caught. That's what we're afraid of. And not by God. We're afraid we're going to get caught here, you know. Mom and Dad tell you, don't eat those cookies, Keith. Don't touch those cookies in that kitchen. I've done this plenty of times. In the jar. Hold it. And you're not sorry, really, that you're eating the cookies, are you? You're sorry because they caught you. And how much more we should think of God. If we realize that He's near us every second of the day, and we fear Him, that will keep us from sin. And Job feared God, and he eschewed evil. He told us in Psalm 89, verse 7, that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of His saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Sometimes I wonder, brothers and sisters, even about my own heart, when we come and gather together in the Lord's name, if we have a reverential fear of God, to reverence where we are. We're not in the schoolyard. We're not any place having fun. We're here in the presence of the Lord. And as we recognize that, we will reverence Him. He said, be feared in the assembly of His saints. What a difference the Lord's presence makes, though, doesn't it? In life, when we know He's there, He'll not fail us. He's always there. How many times discouraged we sink beside the way? We don't even hardly pray, sometimes a hymn writer says. But, no, never alone. He's promised never to leave us alone. We don't have reason to fear when the Lord is with us. We see the disciples that tell us they were gathered together for the Lord was crucified. And you can imagine how all those disciples must have felt. They were afraid. So much afraid that they denied the Lord, every one of them, essentially, because they left Him. Peter wasn't the only one. They all fled and left the Lord alone. But they were all gathered together and told us for fear of the Jews. They were afraid they were going to be crucified too because they were with the Lord Jesus. But suddenly, in their midst, appeared the Lord Jesus. All the disciples were glad, they told us, when they saw the Lord. What a difference that makes for our fears, doesn't it? When we recognize that He's there. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who can possibly win? Who can condemn me if God says I'm justified in His sight? No one can condemn us, Paul argues in Romans 8. What a difference His presence makes. We need to be moved by fear, though. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah was moved by fear. And because he was moved by fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. The Lord told him, judgment's coming. Do we move with fear, brothers and sisters? Not so much our own fear, but are we afraid for others? Are we concerned about our family and friends who don't know the Lord? That is being moved by fear. The ark was a big, big boat, wasn't it? I wonder how many people it would have held if they had decided to be delivered. We don't know. But I wonder how many people could have gotten on board if they decided to. And we need to be moved by fear, not our own, but for others. And we also need to recognize we're going to give an account to the Lord one day, sometimes for what we don't say to people. We neglect to share the Word of God. the people. And all of us, the reason we do that, I would say, is fear. We're afraid. We're afraid of what they're going to think about us. We're afraid, you know, of them. As an individual, we might lose a friendship or whatever. Might lose a wife. Some people don't come to Christ because they're afraid of the cost involved, that they might lose their own family if they trust Him. David tells us in Psalm 56, verse 3, and listen to these words. He says, when I'm afraid, I'll trust Him. That's what it is, right? When I'm afraid, I'll trust Him. Blessed assurance, Jesus mine, we sang tonight. Fear not, the Lord said. Don't be afraid. All of us have fears, and yet we only have one to really fear, and that one has died for us because He loved us. Is it a sin to be afraid? I don't know. Everything in life the Lord allows in our lives. Dad told me recently about a woman. A man broke into her home, was going to rape her. You know what she said to him? I just want to tell you one thing. My body is a property of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man left. Didn't lay a hand on her. My body is a property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have a fear of God? Recognize that everything in life out of Him. If we trust Him, it will calm our greatest fears that we're afraid of. Lord Jesus, He's the one in control. He's the one that has all authority. And whatever happens in my life, if I drive out tonight and somebody hits my car, I can get out hopping mad. You know, I might be afraid to ever drive because I'm afraid somebody's going to hit me. But yet we just trust the Lord. Get on a plane. If I've heard this line 100 times, I've heard it 1,000 times. Yeah, well, Keith, it might not be your time, but it might be the pilot's time, you know, to die, right? I honestly believe, I don't care if I'm up 40,000 feet, and the pilot's time is to go. If the Lord doesn't want me to die, that plane going out, I'm not going to die. I honestly believe that. We need to trust Him. Let Him calm our fears and recognize that in life, everything is in control. From the smallest things, I'm afraid of my test at school, you know? Pray about it. Lord, help me. I'm afraid of this test. And I know I shouldn't be, but help me. Maybe it's your own fault because you didn't study for it. But pray about it. And even the greatest fears that we can have, when we are afraid, we can trust Him. Don't be afraid, the Lord says. It is I. And what a wonderful promise that is to us tonight. I want to just close with number 604. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Number 604, we'll sing verses 3 and 4, number 604.